Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, my wonderful, beautiful friends. Guys, welcome back to r/entitledpeople, where people seem to think that they can do whatever they want, whenever they want, because they're special. Guys, before we dive into today's stories, take a look at this. Okay, so the context of this video is that the woman gets too hot on the plane after it landed. So she decided to open the emergency exit, and she just casually hangs out on the frickin' wing. Like, look at her sitting there. So I did find an article that I'll link if you guys want to read it. So the pilot does immediately call security, police, and medical staff to the scene. And now she's blacklisted, which is no surprise. Now, the crazy thing is, she wasn't even drunk, guys. She wasn't drunk, she was sober. She just wanted some fresh air. My friends, if you think that's entitled, wait until you hear the stories in this episode. I hope you enjoy them today, and do remember to hit that subscribe button for future tales. We're diving in. It's gonna be a good ride. So, I recently won a large amount of money, like FU money. I won't say exactly how much it is, but it's in the millions. Now, my ex-wife is the mother of my two kids. She's an amazing woman and she's good to the bone. We divorced 6 years ago because I had an affair with my current partner. I was in a low place in my life and I really messed up. My wife was in incredible pain, but like a saint, she allowed me to still see our kids, who mean the world to me. She allowed our divorce to be as pain-free as possible despite the fact that I knew she was hurting. My wife is also still close with my parents. She's really respectful to me, although she refuses to talk to my girlfriend. She was actually the first person I phoned, after my mom and dad, when I found out I won the lottery. She was really happy for me. She joked that I could take the kids on a world trip, and that was that. Nothing else. She didn't ask for money. Nothing. Now, as soon as I won, I knew I wanted to give her a significant amount, as I still love her. She's the mother of my babies, and I feel this is some tiny way that I can show her that I'm not a complete screw-up. She deserves to know I care, despite my mistakes. My wife also works a crappy job in the public library, which pays her peanuts. She would actually be able to pursue her hobbies this way. It would also help give our kids a better life between us. So long story short, when I told my girlfriend, she was livid. My girlfriend screamed that by giving my ex-wife money that I'm disrespecting her, that I don't owe my ex-wife a single dime. She even accused me of still being in love with my ex-wife. Now I do love my ex-wife, but I'm not in love with her. We've both grown apart, but of course I still love her for being an excellent co-parenting partner and a mother to my kids. My girlfriend is threatening to break up with me if I give my ex even a cent. And to be honest, I'm feeling incredibly relieved over the threats. I don't plan on changing my plans. Am I wrong for doing that? So first off, I want to commend OP for even wanting to give his ex money. He sounds like a good guy. I mean, cheating aside, of course. Like, making sure your ex-wife is taken care of and that she can use the money to better provide to the kiddos and herself is amazing. But I do feel the girlfriend is a little bit entitled, though. I mean, threatening to break up with him if he gives the mother of his kids a single penny? Guys, money often brings out the worst in people, and maybe OP's in the right for feeling relieved over the threats of breakup. But, my friends, let me know what you think of this. Does OP need to reconsider his relationship with this childish woman, or should he side with her and not give his ex a single penny? Leave your comments below. Okay, so today, I was at a restaurant with four friends. We had horrendous service. We had to ask many times for several different simple things like water and cutlery. So our waitress would bring us something, forget the other thing we asked, and she'd come back and ask us if everything's okay here. And we'd say, no, we're still waiting for the thing we asked for three times already. Now the waitress wasn't a very good waitress. She doesn't start conversations, which we prefer. And we became pretty frustrated with her. At the end, she brings us the checks. We give her the credit cards, no additional talking. For the non-USA people, waiters bring you your bill, you give them your credit card, they take it away to swipe the card, and they bring it back with a new receipt for you to sign, to add on tip, etc. Now at this point, she comes back with the checks, and it's time for us to decide how much tip for her poor service. Out of nowhere, she starts talking about how she has three kids, tells us their ages, their names, their this, their that, how she's looking to save up for this, what they're going through, stuff that nobody even asked or continued the conversation about, and she just kept talking. We were staring at her, like, are you seriously doing this? And at the end of her monologue, she even says, "Yeah, I'm a single mom, so..." and then smiles at us and walks away. I'm thinking, if you want a good tip, do a good job. Don't be one of the worst servers I've ever seen, and then bring up your kids and hover while customers are signing the checks. Talk about entitled. My friends, I do feel that the waitress did a craptacular job and she knew it, and was trying to guilt trip OP and her friends into leaving a bigger tip. Like, yeah, I do understand that sometimes restaurants are short-staffed, or there's issues with the kitchen, etc., leading to crappy service. I get that. But in this case, OP explains that she was just a crappy waitress. And then she tries to save herself by telling a sob story. Like, I personally don't like to walk away without leaving some sort of a tip, so I probably would have done 10%, I don't know. But guys, leave a comment below on how much you would have tipped her. Now, this is my first time posting a story like this, so bear with me. Now, I've always wondered if I'd see something awful enough to post on here, and this happened a couple of weeks ago. I'm a 20-year-old male, and was in Primark at the time, which is a well-known clothing outlet in the UK for people who can't afford to fork out on big clothing brands. I was wandering around the men's section on the second floor, where there's a busy escalator on one side of the shop, and an elevator on the other. So as I got closer to the lifts, I heard raised voices, and went over to look because I'm nosy. There was a white woman in her mid-20s, standing in the open lift. She had a child with her in a pram, which is a carriage for my American friends. So let's call her Karen. So in the doorway of the lift, there was an older black woman, around 50 years old, who clearly has an issue with her leg as she was using crutches and one of those boots they use for broken legs. We'll call her Jane. Now with Jane was a younger black man, maybe in his late 20s, but I'm not sure he said anything during the entire encounter. Now I am making race relevant because I'm not entirely sure Karen's actions weren't entirely free of prejudice. So Karen was in the lift with her pram angled to stop Jane from getting into the lift. In a raised voice, she was telling Jane, "I'm claustrophobic. I can't have anyone in here with me." Now, the lift was pretty big, enough to fit about 20 people, and Jane was asking Karen if she would please let her into the very big lift and she would just stand in the corner. Karen wasn't having it. She just kept repeating, "I'm claustrophobic," over and over again, and told Jane to use the escalator instead. Now at this, Jane gestures towards her leg and crutches, and asked whether Karen did this in all lifts, because there was no way she could get away with doing it every time someone got into a lift with her. When Jane starts calling Karen out on this, Karen's story quickly changed to, "With everything going on, I'm worried about getting sick." Now, she said that without having a mask on, to a woman wearing a mask while standing in an extremely busy shop. By this point, it would have been quicker for them to go down and then send the lift back up again. Karen then starts shouting, "How do I know you don't have COVID?" And then Jane responds with a very calm voice, "How do I know you don't have COVID?" With this, Karen yells back, "How do I know your leg is actually broken?" Now by this point, there were 10 people including me pretending to look through clothes racks while we all stared at what was going on. Finally, about 3 staff members appeared about 5 minutes after the commotion started and asked the woman to take 2 separate trips. They let Karen go down first because she was already in the lift, which was a shame. Now, I wish something more was done, but people kick off so much around here that you just kinda want them to get done whatever they're doing and leave ASAP. Everyone went back to their shopping after the women were split up, but I remember making eye contact with a maybe 16-year-old boy who was also watching, and we just burst out laughing in the middle of the shop. Now, I know this isn't all that exciting, but I got a huge laugh out of it for a few days. Guys, I love how Karen was like, "How do I know your leg is actually broken?" Like, what a ridiculous thing to say to a random person. At that point, guys, I think I would have chimed in and said, "How do I know that's a real baby in your stroller?" Oh wait, or even better, "How do I know that's even your baby?" Because you know what, sometimes you just have to out-crazy the crazies, okay? And guys, please don't attack me in the comments, okay? But I personally don't think it was a race thing, like OP said. I think she just didn't want other people in the elevator with her.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
All right, so basically, this is a very personal story since it involves direct family, so I'll keep the details a bit more vague because I don't want anyone to figure out who he is and cause issues. So, long story short, my brother had moved away to a city 3 hours away to study law. And since he and his wife were planning to move back to the city, they decided to come back here for him to pass his bar. The issue is that the apartment they were supposed to move in suddenly became unavailable due to unforeseen events, and as a result, they had to quickly find temporary lodging. For reference, my parents and I bought a duplex a few years back, and I live in the upstairs unit and they occupy the first floor. There was a bachelor in the basement for use by guests. When my parents saw the apartment issue my brother was going through, they offered to let him temporarily stay in the basement in exchange for a relatively low rent. Now, had my brother not been an entitled person, this 3-month situation could have been perfectly fine, as they had all they needed in the basement. They had a shower, a cooking range, a fridge, a separate bedroom, etc., etc. But no, of course they had to take over mine and my parents' space. For example, despite having a brand new shower in the basement, he said, "The kids don't like showers, so they have several times forced my hand, so they would be able to use my bathtub to clean their kids." Once, they rang my doorbell while I was taking a bath after a long day at work, forcing me to run for a towel and then emptying the bathwater. Also, they apparently once came while I wasn't home. And the way I knew this is that the temperature on my AC had been tampered with. Then, 2 days ago, he decided that the Wi-Fi connection in the basement, which he doesn't pay for, wasn't strong enough. So he unplugged our router and tried plugging in his router in order to get better Wi-Fi in the basement. Now this resulted in every single smart device in the house to stop functioning, including smart doorbells and all the lights and smart plugs. Also, the deal with my parents to pay rent fell through and he snaked out of paying rent for all 3 months he's been there. And finally, my parents had to make a decision regarding our very, very old dog, who's 16 years old. My dog had become rather ill in recent times and my brother felt like he had a word in the matter. He casually told them that they should just get rid of it and move on. Now, this is a dog that my mother considered her baby. My brother's finally leaving us in a few days, and I honestly don't understand how someone can feel so friggin' entitled to treat someone else's home like they own the place. Oh, Opie doesn't know how truly entitled family members can get, guys. So this person's comment is spot on. He says, "You asked how some people can feel so entitled. It's because other people let them get away with it. Enabling someone's bad behavior only reinforces it. You could have locked your door and your parents could make their own decisions. The co-owners, you and your parents could outline the boundaries for staying in the basement. It's pretty straightforward, but it does mean challenging the family systems already in place, and that can be difficult. Short-term pain, long-term gain." So, in the late 90s, I worked for a major retail store that's well known for its open, open, open commercials. I was hired for seasonal work and quickly learned to run every department and was quickly working solo in many of the departments. Well, this particular day in question, I was assigned to the shoe department. It was 20 minutes to closing, and the customer walks in with 4 kids, all under the age of 5. Now, I had just finished cleaning up the department when she had just let her kids run wild, letting them grab and toss shoes everywhere and pretty much destroying the store while she looked for her shoes in peace. I was seeing red. Now, her kids are in tattered shoes, and their outfits aren't much better, while Karen is in really nice clothing, and she's wearing what I know to be a $200 pair of shoes. The kids were looking at the shoes and saying how cool the colors were and wanting to try them on. I gather the kids as soon as she's out of sight, and in my sweetest nanny voice, I ask them if they want new shoes today. At this, all 4 kids' eyes light up, and they're so excited that the nice lady said they can get new shoes. Well, I measure their feet and take them over to where their children's shoes are. I let them pick the shoes they want, and not only make sure they fit, but put the pairs of shoes on the kids. Now, as they stayed after closing, we had closed the metal doors to the mall, so she's locked inside the store. Karen then comes out with a $90 pair of shoes. She sees her kids all smiling and holding shoeboxes and wearing shoes. She then starts telling the kids that they didn't come to get them shoes, but that mommy needed her new shoes. Cue the kids starting the ball. The manager comes and the mom starts getting uppity about how I need to be fired for parenting her kids while she ignored them, and how dare I help them find new shoes. The manager takes the shoeboxes from the kids and looks at their old ratty shoes and then looks at Karen with the "Are you serious?" look on her face. She tells Karen, "I've been watching the security footage and noticed that you left the kids without supervision as soon as you entered the store." The manager then asks Karen if she would reconsider buying shoes for her kids instead, or if she would like us to call CPS and report her for negligence. Now at this, Karen turns red. She then throws the shoes that she was gonna buy back towards the women's department. Like, she literally throws it like a football. She then curtly told me to ring the kids' stupid shoes up. She then paid and stormed out with the kids, who were all super happy that they got new shoes. Now, apparently the manager couldn't get the situation off her mind, and she decided to do something about it. Since this was the late 90s and checks were still accepted, the manager had used the check that Karen had given her, which had her address on it, and asked for a wellness check on the kids. Now, we don't know what happened, but a few weeks went by and Karen later returned to the shoe store to confront us about losing her meal ticket, as she lost her welfare checks as the kids had to go live somewhere else. She then caused so much of a scene that police had to be called. She was then arrested. I don't know what happened after that. Guys, what a crazy story. That woman sounds like a terrible mother. So, I remember seeing a screenshot on Reddit a little while ago, where a dad goes on Facebook complaining that he paid child support, etc, etc, and his wife would always send their kids to him with ratty shoes, ratty clothes, and then he found out that the woman was using the child support payments on herself. So yeah, some people need to get their priorities straight. Okay, so my sister-in-law is the kind of person who couldn't fathom why any woman would not want to become a mother. She's always been really critical of my choice to be child-free. She's always made some catty comments about how I'll never know true happiness because I don't have kids. However, when I saw her a few days ago at my dad's birthday party, she seemed to have done a complete 180. She told me again and again how she's supportive of my life choices and shouldn't have kids if I don't want them. Now, I don't know what to make of this. I just said something like, "Okay, thanks." But my gut told me that there was more to her sudden acceptance than she was letting on. The phone call that I received yesterday from her proved my gut instincts right. She starts off with the usual, "How are you? We need to get together soon," all that crap. She then started to dig not so subtly into my finances, what sort of savings I have, how much I make every year, etc, etc. I of course got irritated and asked her what the heck she meant and come to the damn point. At this point she giggles and says, "Well, since you won't be having kids of your own, why don't you make my children your heirs?" Now, I didn't know whether to laugh like a maniacal villain or just get pissed. I decided to let her go on. She says, "So as you know, your brother and I are planning to have at least 4 kids. They have 1 right now." She then goes on and says, "You need to start planning so when they're born, you can leave equal portions of your estate to all of them." I said, "Uh-huh." And she goes on and says, "So you and that boyfriend of yours say you don't even want to get married, so it's not like you have to leave anything for him, right?" Now, I'm just dumbfounded, and she says, "Yeah, so I thought instead of your life savings going to waste, they can just go to your family." I told her, "After I'm dead." She says, "Yes." I then asked her, "So do you plan on making it look like suicide or an accident?" Now at this, she didn't have anything to say, and I said, "Since you've planned out all this, you must have made some plans to off me, right? So go on and tell me what it is. Is it something super creative and unusual? Is it gonna hurt? Tell me." Now at this, sister-in-law became very angry and she says, "How could you think that? I only suggested this so you wouldn't have the burden of worrying about what would happen to your money when you're dead." I then said to her, "Aren't you a sweetheart? I'll spare you the burden of worrying about me worrying about my money by leaving everything I have to charities that I support." She then started blabbering again, but before she could form a full sentence, I hung up the phone. I also called my dad to let him know about this. This morning, I received a call from my stepbrother, and he apologized profusely for what his wife had said. I told him if she ever pulled anything like this again, it'll be the last time I speak to them. Talk about entitled. "Yeah, let's just plan out what you're gonna give my kids when you die." Now, I'm assuming that OP isn't even that old, so for her sister-in-law to be talking like that, it's freaking nonsense. But that, my friends, is our / entitled people. Guys, I hope you enjoyed the stories today, and we survived another episode, okay? Thank you so much for popping by to hang out with myself and Steve-O. If you missed the last episode on the channel, a raging Karen wants OP arrested for defending herself. against Karen's attack. I know, it sounds so crazy, so check it out if you missed it, and I'll see you guys in the next one. I love you.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.